Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, Amanda Borges, and Blythe Brumleave.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
How was everyone's weekend?
Fantastic.
Amanda, what did you do?
I went home.
That's right. I saw you. Did I see you on a paddleboard?
Nope, I was not. I wish I was.
You were on a dock.
I was on a dock. Funny story with that is we went on the boat. Fantastic. Love the water. Super excited. 1 hour later, after we get to the island, it just pours. So we decided to wait it out. So we were in the water in the rain, which gets cold, but you know, you're already wet. Not a big deal. Kept raining and raining and raining. So finally we left and I'm like, I didn't get one picture from this whole day. And so I just took one on the dock when we got back. That's all I got. But it was still fun. It was awesome.
I was one time in a sinking boat, and that's the only thing worse than being on a boat when it's pouring down rain and you're getting
sinking?
Pelted.
Why was it sinking?
It ended up, we took it out to Steinhatchee. It was actually a family friend's boat we borrowed for the weekend to go scalloping.
Right.
And we get out there day one, and like hour one, we're in the water snorkeling, and all of a sudden my dad looks up and he's like, oh my gosh, the boat is like literally capsizing. So we rush back in the boat. We're like trying to dump water out.
You get into the boat while it's sinking.
Well, at this point we knew the motor was working, but it was, so we had to get back to the dock immediately as soon as possible. So yeah, we're like getting water out. You know, obviously they're screaming amongst my parents and it's cause it's chaos, right?
Right.
So we finally made it back to the dock and the boat is, I mean, the back end is just in the water. And so the guy comes with the crane to come lower, or, you know, raise it up. And everyone had jumped off the boat, right? Because it's sinking. And my dad was still on it trying to help in any way, shape, or form. And the guy on the crane was like, get off the boat, you idiot. So that was the experience. And then we ended up finding out that the boat couldn't be fixed that weekend. So we literally got in like 1 hour of scalloping. It was supposed to be a 3-day weekend. And we got no scallops.
Oh, wow.
It was awful. But not
wow,
to,
I'm so sorry about
right.
Take that, Amanda. I guess I better count my blessings over here.
No, but being on a boat when it's raining is also terrible. So
yeah, it wasn't fun.
Yeah, no fun. Donna, what did you do this weekend?
Oh, we went down. I'm from Port Orange, which I never say Port Orange because people don't really know Port Orange.
Mm-hmm.
They Daytona because it's just south of Daytona. But went down there with my parents. It's awesome. It's a vacation there. They, you know, babysit for us. We go out. We saw Pitch Perfect 2.
Ooh.
Adorable.
Ooh, you liked it?
Adorable.
Okay.
Love Pitch Perfect 1.
Yeah.
So it's very cute because we saw the Avengers last week. So you have to go for a girly, I guess, movie.
Switch it up.
Yeah. We were in the pool all weekend. It was great.
Nice.
Low key.
Yeah.
You painted a dresser.
Yeah, I painted a dresser. So that's exciting.
Did you get it done?
I did.
Oh, that's good.
One of those projects that Pinterest says it'll get done in a day,
right,
and then ends up taking the entire weekend. I got sunburned on my back. I was in your outside painting. You're bent over. I had to even myself out for a little bit. I had to lay out for work purposes.
Yeah,
for like an hour.
Right.
To take a good break.
Even the skin tone.
But then after that, it was fine. I'm over it. I'm so over it.
I feel bad. I feel like I could rattle off like 17 things I did while you were painting the dresser.
Yeah, I know.
Played Bunko Friday night. Have
wow.
y'all ever played Bunko before?
No. That my mom used to go to Bunko parties.
Yep.
And I never even knew what that meant.
Okay, well, I can explain it to you, but it'll be way faster just to say it's a dice game. You roll it a lot. And it's actually my mom's group of friends that anytime someone's out of town, they invite me. I'm not quite sure why, other than I'm pretty sure it's because I lose. But I lose every time. I've never won.
Money.
And it's right. It's always easy money. They just look at me as soon as I walk in the door and they're like, yep, not losing tonight. Because you get a loser hat if you lose.
Oh,
it's a
wow.
There's a hat if you win for Bunkos. There's a hat if you win for Funkos. And
Funkos?
Yeah. So you're rolling 1 through 6. And so there's 3 tables, 4 people at each table. There's a head table. Once the head table gets to 21 points based off of the number you're rolling for, the game ends right then. If you roll 3, let's say you're rolling for 1s. If you roll 3 1s, then that's a Bunko. But if you're rolling for 2s and you roll 3 1s, that's a Funko. So very similar. But eye roll a lot of times, none of the ones that I'm trying to get.
So this game is all luck.
It's pure luck, absolutely. But oh, you're having beverages, boring. You're chit-chatting.
Okay.
And one person has to keep score at every table. Usually I avoid that job like the plague because I don't want to have to pay attention that much. You know, I just want to be able to talk and
right.
drink and hang out. But it's a lot of fun. We should set up a Helmets and Heels Bunko night one time.
Hmm.
Y'all will love it. But so anyway, played Bunko, went to Casa Marina over the weekend. There was an acoustic That's guitarist
nice.
There.
Nice.
Fantastic. Sat next to a huge Florida State fan. You would have liked him, Amanda. He went to Florida State a long time ago and now is a songwriter after retiring as a captain in the Navy. Some of the coolest
wow.
people live in this town, I'm telling you. But anyway, so we did that. Went to the beach one day. We drove down to St. Augustine where you can drive on the beach.
Nice.
Had a whole beach day. Played soccer, volleyball, football. Rode bikes. Went to the pool.
And meanwhile.
Then, yeah, meanwhile, you've got a dresser painted. So well
Lord
done.
Boy. Well, it looks pretty.
All right.
Well, that's
so,
good.
Annoying fans at sporting events. I have so many, I feel like I could go for 3 hours. But Blythe, I'm going to start with you. What is the two things that jump out at you that I know irk you to death?
I've been a season ticket holder for, I think, nearly a decade with the Jaguars. And there, for a while, the two seats behind me were scalper seats. So we had new fans every single game. Well, there was a few games in a row that the same fans bought the tickets and they showed up merely, or just probably for the only reason to boo the Jaguars. And it just really irks me. And these type of fans are the same type of morons that show up with a bag over their head and they call themselves the Bagwires. I know
mm-hmm.
it's just one of those things that just, if you're going to go to the game, boo on a bad play, but don't boo the team in general. It's those little things that you're showing up to the game with a bag over your head. The game hasn't even started yet. So what are you trying to prove? I just think they're idiots and you should just go home.
I hate that negativity. I almost never tweet anything negative about players anyway because they're not trying to be terrible. They
right.
just sometimes have bad plays.
I mean, and luckily the Wi-Fi does not work in Everbank for my phone, so I can't say that I wouldn't tweet anything negative. I feel like I'm a season ticket holder. I have that right to.
Sure.
I want to.
You
complain.
Absolutely do.
So. Amanda, what yeah. drives you crazy at sporting events?
So I've been covering games since college, so I rarely sat in the stands to watch games because I had the best seat in the house on the sidelines. But I have, like, silly things that can kind of apply to anything. Like, when you're somewhere, whether it's a show or a game, I cannot stand when the people behind me are, like, kicking my seat or just, like, in my space. Because I'm always very aware of my surroundings. Like, I know that I have a very tight space to sit in. So if I'm crossing my legs, I have to be careful. Or if, like, I'm drinking, I have to watch where I put my drink. Whatever. And there are some people that they have no awareness of their surroundings. And it just drives me crazy.
It's, yeah, it's as if they feel like they bought something and paid more than
right.
you did. And therefore,
right.
they own it and you don't.
Well, it's right. like that standing rule, I guess. Do you guys, Jaguars, mm-hmm. I think, implemented that last season where no excessive standing. Does that bother you guys at games?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm a stander.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I'm a stander. if somebody is complaining.
I stand during the show, for crying out loud.
I think it depends. Like, if it's super exciting, yes, I want to stand the whole time, but I will get annoyed if I want to sit and then I can't see and I'm like, oh, I guess I just have to stand. And that's me just whining, so I'll get over it.
Would you ever get annoyed so much that you say something to somebody else?
No.
Like, sit down?
No, especially if everyone's standing and I'm the only one that's like, oh, I'm tired, I need to sit. No, I wouldn't. No, I'm not going to say anything.
You know who you are.
Donna?
Fan bases for me.
Okay.
I have two of them. And I'm happy that Frank is out. Steeler fans,
yes,
mm-hmm.
you can take those towels and shove them somewhere. Towels do not belong at a game unless they're used for the players. There's nothing wavy. You don't wave towels. You don't wave sticks. You don't wave Rays fans. You definitely do not wave cowbells. Anytime. I've only been, well, I think three times. I can't do it anymore because we even sat on the Red Sox side, and it's almost like these Rays fans deliberately took these seats just so they can go bing, 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 bing in your ears. Like,
you know, though, if I was a Rays fan, I'd do the same thing. If an away team is coming in town.
You would ring cowbells?
In their ear. If that was my thing, yes.
But it's not your thing.
It's not.
It's an awful thing. It is an awful, awful
Well, Mississippi
thing.
State
I was going to say, don't go to a Mississippi State game.
Everybody has the cowbell.
Not that that's on your bucket list by any stretch of the imagination, but.
And apparently, like the cowbells, you're not allowed to buy your own cowbell.
Yeah,
you must be given one, and then that's the only
and
way you
they
can
won't
use it
give
at a game.
Them, yeah, the Rays won't give them to the opposite, the opposing fan base. It's only Rays fans are allowed to have cowbells. I would run around and steal them if I could.
Certainly, if that's in your ear the whole time, that's really annoying.
Especially if you give them to kids. Ugh. The kids just go nuts.
Like I don't even know how to say it. The big horns at the...
Oh, the vuvuzela?
Yes, the vuvuzela.
Oh, yeah. From soccer games. Yeah. I can't stand when there's people in front of you, and this just happened to me at the recent Florida-Georgia game when, of course, Florida won. But the person in front of me, every time Georgia made a good play in the first half, which was really the only time they were kind of making good plays, she would turn around and look right at me. And I never said a word to her, but she would turn around and look right at me and then do the, you know, Georgia dogs barking.
Oh.
Woo, woo, woo. And I was like, okay, you know, I went to school there, but I'm not like the only person in the stands as a Florida fan. Why me? And the other thing that drives me nuts, and this has actually gotten me in trouble before with relationship one time, I went to Florida, Georgia, is what it was, with a girl, a friend's, or my boyfriend at the time, his best friend's girlfriend. She was a Georgia fan, so we went together. At least I thought she was a Georgia fan. She tried to talk the entire time. Like, the whole game she tried to chit-chat. Well, I am not there to talk. I am there to cheer, and I am there to focus, and I want to be able to talk about the game after and either complain or be extremely, you know, overjoyed. And finally, apparently, I got up to go to the bathroom and someone asked her if she was even with me because I refused to speak to her. And I got in trouble later for that. But you know what?
What?
You're there to take in a football game.
I second that because there are a lot of times at Jaguar games where people are like, let's meet up at halftime. And I'm like, I only have 12 minutes. I'm going to get a drink and then I'm going back to my seat. This is not social hour. That's
exactly
what preseason's for. That's what tailgating's for. Don't bother.
Right. If you need that much more time, then get there 6 hours before the game time and talk it out and play games. No, I'm with you. And I don't really get to tailgate before the games. I mean, I'm kind of working in the tailgating area. And so once I get into the stadium, I'm like, okay, this is where I will be, and I don't care.
It's business.
Where anyone else is. Right. I will be right here, and I'll be watching it.
Analyze it.
Even when we're losing. All right. We have a fun story about Charles Barkley that we're going to get to in just a few minutes, so stay tuned to Helmets and Heels, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
So thank you, Donna Murphy, for asking our five favorite songs.
Hook long
because
enough.
This one is one of the ones that I included in my list, Into the Mystic by Van Morrison. One of the greatest lyricists of all time, Van Morrison. If you've never really listened to him, once you start really paying attention to the words, oh, goodness gracious. Oh,
I love how different
fantastic.
We all are.
Yeah.
We really are different.
I do like this. The beat, though, was nice.
If you have ever listened to, and I'm sure you have, Free by Zach Brown Band.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, there's a segment in Free where they go into the Mystic.
Yep.
And they always do it live. But if you listen to the radio version of the song, you won't hear it. But the album version has the Into the Mystic portion of it. Oh, fantastic.
Their new album, Zach Brown Band, brilliant.
Jekyll and Hyde,
I just bought it yesterday, and I listened to it on my drive home. Oh.
See? Yeah.
But I like to buy albums of bands that I like, because I'm like, here you go, you're welcome, like, thanks for being so great. But if it's a band I don't really care about, then yeah, I'll use Spotify or not purchase it.
I want to extol the virtues of Spotify. I pay $9.99 a month, and I have unlimited access to all music except for Garth Brooks and Taylor Swift.
Why?
Because they don't do Spotify. They just don't believe in it.
Pull their music.
But it's all right. I have all of Garth Brooks' music anyways, and then Taylor Swift. If I turn on 95.1 or 97.9 ever, then I can hear 90% of her music.
Some of the best Taylor Swift songs are not on the radio.
Yes,
that's true.
Very true.
And I've heard all of them.
And I did purchase Taylor Swift as well.
I have all of Taylor and Garth's.
Really?
Yeah.
Eclectic music taste.
Right.
Neither.
No?
I'm not a
T-Swift girl?
No.
missing out.
She looked pretty good in that Bad Blood video.
No, she still looks 10, and it's annoying.
But you,
I don't want to hear a, I know she's not 10, but I don't want to see a 10-year-old talk about love. It's just annoying.
She's probably the same age as Britney was when she was coming out with some of the stuff that you mentioned today that you liked a lot.
Except she writes all
Britney was
stuff.
Younger.
Yeah. Britney was 16 when she first came out, right, but by the time like Toxic and Blythe came out,
then and you like Toxic, Donna. Blythe like
That's probably the best Britney song ever.
For sure.
I agree.
I wanted
her abs. I
think
I put that on our list the other day.
I wanted her abs. The body that she had. Play for you. Yeah.
That's a great video.
She did have an amazing body at one point. And she let it go a little bit, and then she's gotten it back.
Well, she has kids, so we can't really hate on her that much.
She's no Mariah Carey.
What does kids have to do with it?
Because it's harder to bounce back. With multiple kids, it's harder to bounce back.
True. I would imagine. I don't have kids.
Yeah. Speaking of kids, Charles Barkley said that Steph
Curry... See how I set that up for you?
You did perfectly. And I was going to make sure that no one said anything else so that I could go right from the word kids to kids. No, so Charles Barkley said he doesn't really think that children belong at the press conferences like Steph Curry had his daughter, which the moment I saw that video, I sent it out to all of y'all because I was like, this is by far the cutest thing of all time. Riley Curry should be a movie star. She's that precious. And so for people who haven't seen it, I absolutely think you should look it up. She is just so cute. But so she kind of distracts everyone a little bit, right? She's kind of yawning. She's stealing the show. She goes under the table. And so Charles Barkley believes that that's not the right thing to do. When he was an NBA star, he would never have brought his kids. Agree, disagree. And we're going to start with Donna, who is the only one of us with a kid.
I see both sides of it. It's great. You want to have, you know, you always have your kids out there with you. You see the first thing when a golfer wins, the kids run up and give the hug. They're there when, you know, they're doing the interview. Kids celebrate after the Super Bowl, everything like that. But in a press conference, I think you're still doing your job. You're still working. And I agree with what he said. You know, the media is trying to do a job, and your kids are kind of distracted. As cute as they are, you know, and as fun as it can be, but they are distracting, and we just want to get five little answers from you, and then you can go play, and they can go play on the court if they want. Who cares? But I think he's still doing his job. He's not going to have the kids out there at halftime shooting hoops with him, so why would he have them at a press conference?
My thing, I kind of see both sides, too, but my thing is would we be talking about this press conference? Would you get any kind of story value out of it without his kid being there? And I think a lot of the times that the media that's in that room, they already have their article written. They already have their story angle.
They're bored to tears.
They want to get a quote and they want to go home. So I kind of see that angle of it too. But do teams, and I guess maybe Amanda, you can help answer this. Do teams allow you to still go into the locker room? Because to me, that's where you get the juicier story, is directly after a game in the locker room, not when they've composed themselves and now they're going to go up on the stand and do a big press conference in front of a lot of people. To me, you would get a better story in the locker room. And so maybe that's where the media needs to focus their time, because they're in front of a bunch of press. Like, nobody's going to want to hear about it. You're not going to get anything juicy, and in my opinion.
Well, sometimes the team only makes bigger players available to everyone because they know everyone wants to talk to Steph Curry. So we're just going to put him right here so that everyone can talk to him, so that he can just leave and no one bothers him in the locker room, or because he's on a tight time constraint. I don't know. But that's what they typically do. And then you have free reign. Typically, teams do it differently, to just talk to whoever else you want in the locker room. For me, with a kid situation, I do see both sides as well, but because the media has such a negative, like, players always feel negatively towards the media. That's just the way it is. And I don't blame them. But who am I to tell you that you can't bring your kid to the press conference? Like, we don't know what the situation is, and it could have been something as simple as, oh, daddy, I want to come with you, whatever, fine, I'm not going to make it a big deal. I didn't have a problem with it. Yeah, it's really distracting. And I know that some people are on super tight deadlines. So it's like, if I have 10 minutes to write a story and your little cute daughter is there, but I have like a really strict boss that's like, hey, you need to get this in 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, sorry, Steph's like little girl was running around. Like, no, that's not going to fly. So I see both sides. But for this, it made the story. It did.
Had she sat there quietly and never talked or moved a muscle, this would never have been
exactly
an issue. And so it depends on the child. A two-year-old, Donna, as you can attest to, is probably the most difficult age to try and control in an environment like that. So does he want her there? Absolutely. It's extra time he gets to spend with her, and you know how busy they are right now. So I totally get it. But if it was me, I would have been dying laughing if I was him and not able to answer the questions, and not able to take it seriously, because she's literally like putting on a show, you know, like, oh,
yeah, God,
you know, and
going
just
under the table, go,
right. And she was like, daddy,
that
daddy,
to me
daddy.
Would be a reason you're not coming out here anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
This is
right.
not about you. Right. You're not the star. Not that Steph should say I am the star, but
sure.
this is not about you. I'm doing my job. That's where the mom in me would be like, what are you doing? No, no, no. Go over here and talk to these fans and dance for them if you want, but not this.
Yeah. That's kind of like what Colin Cowherd said. He said, if you give athletes an inch, they're going to want to take a mile.
Yeah.
So in this story in particular, he said, well, first it starts with the kids. You allow the kids, and then they're going to bring their friends, and then they're going to bring their agent, and then they're going to bring a whole crew of people to these press conferences, and then you're just going to have a disorganized circus pretty much. So I don't know. Kid's cute.
So cute.
Wouldn't got anything else out of him, probably.
I don't even know what you got out of him. Did anything come out of the...
They're all canned answers
basic.
Anyways.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, we're going to look ahead to the next... You know, we won't look too far ahead. And yeah, we worked hard. And you know, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, did anyone over the weekend see LeBron's shot? I was already in bed. But I woke up to multiple texts about LeBron's overtime three-pointer. And I went back and watched it today. Goodness gracious, one person with all those talents, that's not fair.
You know, it made me think, if it wasn't for his decision, wouldn't he still be like the most beloved and favored?
I think there is no one in Ohio more beloved than LeBron.
Right, but I mean, collectively. I mean, throughout the sports world.
People I think still I like him more up there than I liked him in Miami.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'm saying if it wasn't for the whole decision fiasco.
Right.
Right.
It kind of felt like he matured a little bit, especially with that coming home letter. I think his time in Miami was more like his college years, and him going back to Cleveland is kind of like, okay, we have business to take care of. And so now if he does win in Cleveland and gives him a title for the first time, I think since the 40s, then it'll be one of the greatest sports stories ever.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. So Tiger recently, I love Tiger. Oh, yeah. I love his antics. He's been cussing on the golf course because clearly he's not playing well. Which I have not picked him in my fantasy golf league, but yet the guy I picked over the weekend still didn't make the cut. I thought I knew what I was doing. I don't.
Shame on you for not
picking
Spieth.
Yes. Well, I already picked Spieth, so he's out. I picked him for the Masters, though. He won me some double money. But anyway, so Tiger's been in trouble with the FCC for cussing, and it made me think to ask you ladies, have you ever come close to cussing on the radio? And I'm looking right at Blythe, who in today's show planning email cussed. So I have to think that you have definitely come close.
I had to think about this. I don't think I have. The one time I did come close, I asked if it was okay first. I think it was at the Players
and
show.
And it was approved.
Yeah.
I was good with that.
Even last week when we talked about RBF,
yeah,
I think we had to ask if we could say that on the radio.
We're such genteel
girls. Yeah, because that was not a slip-up. We definitely asked about that.
Get a couple beers in me, though.
But your response to getting close to cussing in football season, I thought was priceless.
Yeah, because if my phone has if the Wi-Fi on my phone works and I have access to Twitter, I'm based on the last couple seasons, I'm going to be cursing up a storm.
And we don't need that.
Maybe it'll be better this year.
It's probably better that you don't have Wi-Fi.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like, thank God it doesn't work then.
Yep.
Donna, have you ever come close?
I think Blythe and I both did two shows ago. We were talking about Ricky's girlfriend. I didn't know how to phrase what I wanted to call.
Slut is not a cuss word.
No,
but they were. I wondered at the time if that was allowed.
No,
on
that's not a cuss.
But I was like, well, we're going with it. I'm not getting in the middle
of
it.
I'm not talking about slut. I'm talking about what was going through my mind.
Like a blank in church, maybe?
There was a few.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rude.
Amanda, you've been in radio for quite a while now.
I actually don't think I have. I am not a huge cusser. And I'm not, like, against, like, I'm never offended. It's funny because a lot of people, I don't know if, like, I look like I don't cuss, but I've had so many people since I've moved up here cuss around me and be like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry if that offended you. And I'm like, what? Why would that offend me because you said the S word? Like, what do you mean?
More people are a little bit nice here, maybe.
And that's so nice, but it's just funny that, like, more people have said that. And I'm like, no, you're totally fine. I just grew up with strict parents. And if I said, like, damn, my mom would be like, what? What did you just say? So that was never allowed, so I just never
did. I still feel weird if I say one little cuss word at the house.
Really?
You just said it too, Mom. I'm all right.
Well, that remember Blythe's one of her first words was the cuss word.
Yeah. Oh man,
she was
doomed from the start.
I've never come close while we're on the shows or anything or any of the shows I've done. I did though last fall have one of the tailgaters that I was interviewing cuss, and it was. I wish there was a video on the whole situation because it was the day that it was very cold and rainy, and I forget which game it was. But I remember it was a miserable, and it was like that the entire game.
The
and we
whole
lost,
game.
Too. Yeah, so that's why I can't really remember because we lost.
Angry just thinking about
right?
It.
It was miserable. So I'm out in the parking lot, find this group of people. They're all excited about the Jags. And I, of course, do my normal spiel. Hey, do you want to be on 1010? You can't cuss, but you can talk about absolutely anything. They all say, okay. I stand and talk to them for a few minutes, figure out what we're going to talk about, get to know them a little bit. And all these guys say to the one guy who's sitting in the trunk of the car with a beverage in his hand, they say, it was a beer, and they say, you want to be on ESPN someday, so you're the one who's going to do most of the talking. So I asked him basically a question about the offensive line, and it was not a difficult question like who's better, you know, at left guard or anything like that. And then he just got nervous, and I think he realized that being on, you know, once the microphone goes on is a little bit more difficult than when it was off. So he gets nervous and then he just drops the F word and he's like, you know, the effing offensive line. And I was like, oh my gosh, meltdown. So yeah, so I have not cussed, but immediately the boys for the pregame show took it back and I got chastised and it was a whole
the dump button
disaster.
Is four.
Yep.
Right. Well, we didn't have the delay on. So all of Jacksonville.
That is a producer's fault.
Well, as it turns out, there was a lot of different issues.
Nope, I'm going to blame the producer.
No, the producer was not.
Who was it?
The producer was not.
Fault.
It was actually Scott, but it was not Scott's fault. It was not Scott's fault.
It turns out it was just a
melee of things that had gone wrong. But regardless, if something were to happen, like if us was to spill our drink or something while the show was going on, that would probably be the closest I would get to cussing.
Wasn't it like that reporter that just chastised those soccer fans, I think up in Canada, because they say the F-U, right?
Oh, right.
P-U-M. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They say it live on camera, and she just grilled them. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know what pissed me off about that? Sorry to go off topic. They didn't even, like, when she questioned them, mm-hmm. none of them were like, oh, you're right, sorry. Like,
right.
They kept pushing it, and they thought...
Because it's awesome!
Yeah.
I think they were really drunk.
Maybe.
Not that that's an excuse.
And maybe because they were on TV, they had to, like, live up to whatever. But do you know one of them got fired from their job because of that?
He had
a
six-figure
job. Good!
Yeah, and he got fired.
Mm-hmm. Don't act like that.
Yeah, don't act like a moron on camera.
Well, you know what? That's probably the one thing he would have told his high school self back when he was graduating was don't ever be a jackass on camera eventually. That's speaking of a cuss word. But so we are going to do our one thing we would tell ourselves when we were 17, 18, graduating from high school. And that is next on Helmets and Heels, 10 to XL, 2.5 FM.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I love the way Scott waits to play the Helmets and Heels until I can finish mouthing all of the words to the verse. Do you know this song by Green Day, Amanda?
What? Okay.
I'm just making sure, because Green Day came out, I feel like, before you were born.
No.
They came out, I want to say, 1994. So, right, when you were pretty young. You were still...
Were you in diapers then?
Still a little baby.
I was four.
All right, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. You were young.
Yes, I know Green Day, and I do know this song, and this probably was one of my graduation songs, whether it was like preschool or
gosh, if I had a tomato right now, I would throw it at her, ruin that pretty pink top. I guess it wouldn't really ruin it. Pink too.
But yeah, that was mine. That was yours too, Bly.
For high school,
it was mine too. It was a few of our. Yeah, I think it was a few years in a row. Oh
yeah,
the class.
Yeah.
It's like, give it a rest. Pick something
right?
new.
Well, we really want it because we graduated in '99 and we wanted Prince's 1999 and.
They didn't do
class
it.
President boohooed us.
What about that vitamin C song?
Yes.
Do you guys remember that?
I was trying to think.
No.
Of it.
Yes.
Who sung that song?
I will look it up. It's by Vitamin C. And they say they have like a graduation song.
You'll know it.
That's right.
Sure
yeah.
Will,
but that's right.
I'm pretty sure the time of your life was the year before us, and I have no idea what mine is. I thought about today, like tweeting out, being like, "Does anyone from the class of 2000 at Bishop Kinney remember what our class graduation song
was?" Probably
was?
That.
Did you guys ever do anything with your caps?
No.
I've seen a little bit of a trend, like this one girl, a Dallas fan, and she put on the top of her cap. You know, Dez still caught it. I saw another girl.
We weren't allowed.
Yeah, we were. No way.
But another one, because Jurassic Park's coming out, so she put on the top of her hat, "Clever Girl." I'm like, oh, that's cool. I wish I could have done that.
I don't think we were allowed to.
Remember in Jurassic Park, wherever the guy is going and he's hunting the Velociraptor, and then the one comes in from the side?
Never.
"Clever Girl."
So she just wrote "Clever Girl" because of Jurassic Park? You have that story?
"Clever Girl."
And because she's smart, graduating.
That's what I'm going to go with.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't have put Jurassic Park and "Clever Girl" together.
Me neither, ever.
Really?
No.
Jurassic Park is one of the best movies.
I know, but I wouldn't
have. I didn't remember that line either.
Yeah.
But I also haven't seen it in probably like 15 plus
years.
That's
one of the most famous lines from the movie.
What?
"Clever Girl."
I don't think I can name any lines from Jurassic Park.
Me neither, except for "rawr" and like running.
Like, "Must go faster." Remember that line?
Yeah, yes, I remember that one.
By the Frank Frangie number 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's his doppelganger.
Jeff
right.
Goldblum.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Frank Frangie number 2.
I was like, that line is not in the movie.
Yeah, I was like, I don't remember that line.
By the way, Vitamin C sings "Graduation" in parentheses, "Friends Forever."
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was in 1999.
So you were 9.
I was. Thanks. You're so good at math these days.
Well, you know, I figured it out from the floor before. Don't ask me to do any other math, though. Although I did take calculus in high school. Yeah, that was
Would you
fun.
Tell yourself to not do that?
No, my dad majored in math at Florida, and so math was always kind of one of my
math.
Better subjects. I hated science. That was my least favorite. Anything involved, even to this day, people will start talking about medicine and stuff. I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Someone else just tell me what I need to take or do or whatever.
And how many times have you used calculus in your adult
life? Oh, none. Exactly. Not a one. No, but.
So that's why you should never take calculus.
Well, I liked my teacher a lot. She would always start with stories from history. And so it had nothing to do with what we were about to learn. But she was fascinating. She was Cuban, so she was this really good storyteller. Hmm. And it made the time go by a lot faster, too, because who can do calculus for like 45 minutes straight? But so, all right, what is the one thing you would tell – were you 17 or 18, Donna, when you graduated?
17.
All right, what's the one thing you would tell 17-year-old Donna Ballou?
This was – thank you. You knew Donna Ballou. Thank you.
That's right. Well, I didn't know her, but I knew the last name.
This was hard because, wow, you make a ton of mistakes. A ton of mistakes. However, I narrowed it down because I figured I needed to make those mistakes too. Get to where I am.
Look how wise that was.
But I would have said, girl, you need to watch how you save money. I would have taught myself to save, where you need to open, you know, the savings account, what kind of Fidelity account, this account. I was horrible with money.
So. That was one of my top three that I came up with. Blythe?
For me?
Were you 17 or 18?
I was 18 when I graduated.
Okay.
But I didn't know how to use a flat iron. So I would probably pick that. Because if you look at my graduation pictures,
no.
I have a big poof.
You didn't send one. I sent mine.
I
that's crap.
I did not send it on purpose.
Oh, my gosh. That's phenomenal. Of all the things you could teach yourself and tell yourself, it would be how to use a flat iron.
And then the more professional approach. Because I've always known from a young age that I wanted to start my own business. So in helping out with some of the interns while I worked at Void, we would go over to the UNF broadcasting department where they're doing all kinds of media training. I'm like, wow, this would be really cool if I knew about this in high school. Or if it, I mean, I'm sure there were programs like that in high school, and I'm pretty sure there was, you know, newspaper and that sort. But I never was a part of the media program. I was never part of the radio. I was never part of the newspaper at all in high school. And if I would have known what I'm going to be doing now, I would have said absolutely. Like,
you didn't take TV or anything?
No, aww. I didn't take any of that. I was very, very shy. So I never wanted to do any of that. So I was more like in the graphics
good
department
one.
And things like that.
You
that
had
was
crappy
one of my other
hair,
ones.
So you didn't want to.
Yeah.
Very crappy hair. Well,
it's beautiful now, so you have certainly transformed.
Amanda, such were you 17 or 18?
I was 18 when I graduated.
6 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Was it six?
Yeah, girl.
Wow. So I've wow, now I feel really young. I've always been really mature for my age, and because of that, I was never spontaneous, or like I was never carefree, even when I was young. Like, I don't know why. And so my one piece of advice would just be to just do it. Just do it. What's the big deal? Just do it. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And I still try to live by that, not all the time, because I'm still a control freak, and I'm still not very carefree. But when you're in high school, that's the time to do that, you know? And I had a blast in high school, but I probably should have done more.
That's funny. The three things that you came up with were my top three coming in. I was going to do the save money, but obviously now I'll change it. I was going to do the look to do something more in broadcasting as you graduate. And I did take TV, but it was kind of a joke. We just laughed the whole time. And my other one was going to be to do more, take more vacations, take more time off, because when you are in your 20s, you're not going to have that availability and be that free
right.
forever. So
right.
do it now. And I didn't do that. But so since y'all really did take those three, I though thought of one that's probably better for me personally, which would be to be yourself. Be yourself in every situation under any circumstances. Don't try and come on as someone you're not, or even don't get nervous just because you don't know something. Just relax and be the person that you are, and try and be spontaneous while saving money, which is extremely difficult, by the way.
And buy a hair straightener.
And yes. Right, I didn't know a flat iron. I didn't have flat ironing until my.
They
I can remember the day.
Then?
Junior year in college is when they came out.
I was thinking about that too. There's a commercial ad on TV about all the damage you do to your hair, and it shows this girl like laying on an ironing board and ironing her hair. And I
remember they used to iron. Yeah.
I remember doing that a couple times, just like at slumber parties and stuff. But that was the extent of me knowing how to do my hair.
I asked my mom to iron my hair after I saw Dazed and Confused, like they did on that movie, and she said no, it would damage my hair. And I was like, but you did it when you were younger,
right.
And she was like, yeah, and look.
See, I would agree with you with the be yourself, but I think, Amanda, you might be one of the exceptions, because you truly, at least for me, I didn't know who I was until I literally got into my 30s.
No, that's
I wasn't
so,
comfortable
no,
with
that's
myself,
true. In high school, you try to find yourself, but it doesn't
you
always happen.
You have no idea.
Yeah, you really don't.
Well, like, for instance, I studied a lot in high school and in college both, and I always tried to hide the fact that I had really good grades, and I was just embarrassed, and I thought that people would think I was a giant nerd or a dork. And so because I also played sports, I always tried to shove that to the front. And in the end, looking back, it's like, hey, that's who you were. Just be proud of the fact that, you know, you graduated with whatever you graduated with, you know, whatever it was. So, but I don't like bragging, so I'm not gonna finish that sentence.
Yeah, I mean, if I had really great grades, I would totally brag about that.
Well, you know, there's those things like, where does it really get you? And that's
right.
The other thing I would tell.
It's true.
That's the thing I would tell myself between the ages of 18 and 24 is make sure that you keep in touch with those people who are really good business people, because they figured it out somehow along the way. And that's who you want to stay in contact with.
Make sure you believe in this thing called Facebook.
No. Gross.
Invest early in Facebook, probably. But there was my business teacher when I was a senior in high school. She drew out this long graph for me, and it still sticks with me. She said, from the time you're 18 until you're about 24, 25, whatever you do during that time period controls the rest of your life. And so she did like this long graph, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old. And she said, this time period is your most important. So that always really stuck with me.
Yeah, I see that.
I think it's because you just grow the most because you go through so many changes. So whether you do or you don't go to college, you're still probably going to go out and live on your own. Right. And you're going to get your first real job. And you're going to not maybe live by your best friends that you used to have sleepovers with in high school. Whatever. Like, everything changes. And mm-hmm. so you have to find out who you really are by yourself, not with your family and your parents sleepover, and whatever.
When are we going to have a Helmets and Heels slumber party?
We need to have one.
You could do the drunk history that night, too.
and on that note, Tony, come on in. We're about to talk about a slumber party.
With your board shorts.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink
picked
too
song.
Much.
I did. You try Ellie King, me, you can Share Totally Heart. Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. We're wrapping it up because Tony is here.
Hi.
Okay.
I am. Hola. I'm here. How was the show tonight, ladies?
I think Fun. It was pretty good.
It was great. We just get off on topics.
I don't know.
We just pick topics and then we just chat about them.
Yeah, I was in the other room. And I was like, y'all, we're doing this last segment. It's the only one I heard. I was getting ready for the show in a different room of the building. And I was like, is this what they were planning on doing in this segment? Or is it one of those things where I've done it a million times where you just start talking and you're like, no, I'm interested in this. And you just keep going in that
graduation?
Direction. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we planned okay. on that.
We planned on talking about graduation because it is graduation season. I think a couple weeks ago we talked about doing prom and we never did.
We're Thank just that God. Smooth, Tony, that it sounds so natural. Yeah. Meanwhile, it's planned.
Oh, best line from Jurassic Park.
I heard y'all talking about this, and I would have thought of the same exact thing.
As me.
Clever girl.
Yeah.
Clever. As soon as if you say those two words back to back, I think of Jurassic
I've
Park.
I've never heard that ever.
And then he gets eaten.